The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Game day eve, that's the right terminology
for it?
Yeah, that'd
be fine.
Game day eve.
I could go with that.
Yeah. I'm excited about
it. It's football Friday.
It is. Got football games on last night.
We've been saying that a few weeks now. I mean, kind of getting everybody ramped up in the mood, but now we really get to say football Friday with some meaning, you know?
That's right. That's right.
With some feels.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that I don't have to change out the legal IDs for the countdown anymore.
Well,
so that way I don't have to worry about that
Ruskin
anymore.
Ruskin did tell you when you took the job, this will be one task you hate.
Oh, I mean, so tedious. But this is it. So this is finally here, and we're going to have
It's fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun. We're going to have a loaded show. We're going to have a lot of guests coming in.
It would sound,
be great.
It would not sound as, I don't know, crisp or as... I don't know. It just sounds better when we have the countdown.
It does. It for sure does.
It's
just I'm the one
task.
That gets to do that. But no, it's a
I'm
lot
glad
of
it was
fun.
A great idea I had years ago that I got to delegate.
Yes, thank you, Tommy, for that. Something
and
I didn't
I will
have
continue to delegate.
I didn't have any say in that.
And you won't.
But hey, that's all right. That's all right. Keeps everybody reminding them though that how many days are left.
Right.
It helps me at least a little bit so that way I can say, hey,
and
this many days left.
It sounded good when he said one day.
That's right. It's gonna sound even better when he says today, which will be happy. Happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of breakdowns for you today. We're going to have some guests coming in. We're going to be talking about not only the games this weekend, but of course the Arkansas game, but some games last night. I mean, there's a lot of things going on.
We'll pick some games.
That's
coming
right.
up at 8 o'clock. New feature here in the show to start football season. Fence Man Friday Football Picks brought to you by the Fence Man. We'll be telling you about a new sponsor here with the show. So that'll all start at 8 o'clock this morning. John Price is back. Mm-hmm. So he'll help you pick games, too. And we got other games to talk about with John Price with Sports Information Traders. So glad John's back on the show this morning. So, we got a full boat today. Raymond House, as you mentioned, is coming up today at 7:30. So,
yeah,
a lot to get in. We'll get into that. We hadn't talked about the defensive depth chart at all with Raymond because we hadn't spoken with the former Razorback captain since then. So. And, maybe some matchups this week with Eastern Illinois. I think a lot of people still kind of gloss over the opponent. But, what do the matchups look like when you look across that line?
Yeah, that's going to be the important thing, no doubt about it. So, we're going to break all of that down and talk about it. And it was fun, like last night, for instance, being able to see Texas A&M play. It's not like you can sit back and say that they had a great opponent and you kind of expected them to blow out Northwestern State. Because they weren't that great, but they win 59-7. I mean, they looked pretty good in it, but what else can you really say about that?
Question: As I was watching a lot of the second half of this game, I started about mid second quarter with them, and they already had you said they started slow. I didn't see the first quarter, but
7-0 after the first.
They had a commanding late second quarter lead when I finally got in front of the TV. We had a little storm blow through Western Arkansas, and
man.
John and I had to get out in the rain yesterday. We had a satellite dish roaming around the parking lot, which is never a good thing in the radio business.
No.
Anyway, we can maybe talk about that later. But anyway, I get home, and they have a commanding lead at that point. It was either 28-0 or 34-0 at that point, and it just never got better. And I quit watching at 49-0. You know, it's just, all right, it's enough of this. They've taken Travion Williams out. He had... like the second highest total in a single game for an Aggie at 240 yards on 20 carries.
It's not bad.
Mon looked good. I mean, question is, will they look better against a weak opponent than Arkansas will look better against a weak opponent? I mean, and Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers and the people commentating the game, they were like, yeah, but this offense still's got some
question marks.
That's what I'm like, what? 49-0.
Yeah. I mean, even Kellen Mond looked pretty good.
Yeah.
17-25, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, but, I mean, they got Clemson coming to town next weekend.
Well, that's the question. And so you'll find out a heck of a lot more about A&M in a week. But,
yeah.
And, I don't expect A&M to win that game. The question is, how close can they keep it?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to expect at least a crazy atmosphere because, you know, I mean, that just watching A&M, they didn't have a packed house last night, but – First off, they're really freaking weird, man. Like, they're just weird. And watching these games, it's like, you know, usually you hear the roar of a crowd, but they don't have a roar of the crowd. You know, their roar sounds different when they're getting, I don't know exactly what the noise that they make, but, you know, they're waving the little towels and whatnot, and you're just, it's, everything's different there. So it's watching those games is just quite a spectacle in itself. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do against Clemson. It's almost like, and you don't want to take, you know, nothing from it, but like yesterday does nothing for me to say, oh, well, Texas A&M is going to be really good this year. I take nothing from it like that. But it was just nice to see SEC football. It's just nice to see that.
Watching there, how much of the second half did you watch?
Very little.
Okay, I watched a lot of the second half because I didn't get to watch a lot of the first half. I turned it off late third quarter, early fourth quarter, somewhere in there. It was just, and actually what I did is I went over and watched some of the Oklahoma State game against Missouri. Mm-hmm. So that was a little more competitive, but Polk still had a pretty commanding lead on that game. But Northwestern State had 6 yards of rushing in the game at that point. Six.
Is that good?
I think the three of us could muster 6 yards of rushing. I don't know what they ended up with. You got the, I didn't print their box score from last night, but maybe you have it there, maybe you don't. But six, I mean, now, what does that say? Does that say Northwestern State can't run the ball worth the lick? Or that A&M defense?
They got the 21, Tommy.
Oh, okay.
So, obviously, you turned off at the wrong time. They got it going, apparently, yeah. There in the second half.
And it was like, you know, A&M ended up getting 300. What'd they get on the ground? It's great radio. We'll go over the box score here.
It's perfect. 503 yards. Not bad.
Total?
Total.
Not now. Say, no, what'd they get on the ground, though? Because they were just running over them.
I mean, that's 503 rushing yards.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I had.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so,
that
yeah.
Wasn't total offense.
That's just rushing yards. Yeah.
Say that again.
503 yards rushing.
Rushing.
Mm-hmm. On 61 carries.
What the hell did they have total offense?
Well, I had 255 yards to that in passing. So, yeah, about 758 yards total offense.
Wow.
Yeah. 8.2 yards a pop on the ground there.
And that Williams kid, their running back, he was like 12 yards a poke.
Yes, he was. 20 carries, 240.
Woo.
3 touchdowns.
Bring him on.
Yeah. Again, let me see what they do against Clemson, and let me see what they do against Bama, because both those teams, they play the number one and number two teams in the country in the next 2 out of 3 weeks.
They'll be happy to see Arkansas.
Yes, they will. And Arkansas, hey, if you wanted to have a time to go up against A&M, I don't know if there's anything to it, but the week after you play Alabama, it's about as good of a time you can ask to go up against them.
Arkansas's got 3 opponents that have to play Bama the week ahead of playing Arkansas.
Telling you, the schedule's a lot better, man. Schedule's better than what people even realize. And, you know, we didn't even mention the defending national champs playing last night. UCF.
Oh, yeah. They self-declared.
Yeah, they blew out UConn 56-17, yeah. So they're going to try to defend their title this year. Yeah. But other than that, the other competitive game was Northwestern-Purdue. I got to watch some of that. It was an entertaining game for the most part. So
I watched a little bit of, like I said, Oklahoma State. They took on Missouri State. Mm-hmm. So
ended up winning that one 58-17. So this Thursday night games, though, like, I guess what was it, last year or the year before last, Arkansas had started their season on Thursday night? I'm trying to remember. Was it last season?
Last season in Little Rock.
That's right. Yeah. And you had like half full.
Yeah.
And
well, you had no opponent.
No one was big on the team.
You can't play a Little Rock game on a Thursday night. That's the premier tailgating game, and you can't. You just can't play that on a Thursday night.
Well, any game I think you can't play on Thursday night. I mean, look at A&M's crowd last night. We were talking about it. It was
Arkansas
pretty empty. It's about who. It's about how good your team is.
Trying
and how good
to
the
remember
game is.
That you know. Arkansas played, was it UNLV? Arkansas played some Thursday games back in the Houston Nutt era.
South Carolina, I know they played.
South Carolina,
once.
Now, yeah. and I believe UNLV. I may be wrong
about
that.
That sounds right, though. Yeah, that sounds right.
There's nothing wrong with playing some, I mean, South Carolina, it seems like South Carolina and Virginia Tech lead the world in Thursday night appearances.
I think Spurrier liked them.
Yeah, I mean, what would be wrong with playing Thursday night in Little Rock if you had a decent opponent, Ty?
It's the premier, like...
That's fine.
No one goes to the Little Rock game to watch the game. they go for the tailgating atmosphere. So when you play that on a Thursday night and 90% of the audience, 90% of the spectators have work tomorrow, that means they're
take
not
the day
going
off.
To get... Tommy Sizey, do you think you'd take the day off in football season? I know our job's a little different.
Sure you can. And other jobs, why not? Take what? Take
run the best of. You know?
It's not like the schedule just pops up on you.
We'll see how that... I'll bring that up later in the year. We'll see how that goes.
I probably won't go over well.
Said I could. I didn't say you could. But,
Thursday night games, it's fine, I guess. But
they're made for TV events.
That's right. They're just...
Why do you play on Thursdays? It's not because it clears up your weekend. Or in Gundy's case at Oklahoma State... Means he's available for Dove season this weekend.
Yeah.
It's so they can put your game on TV.
That's right. Hey, and so
I mean, like the Fox Sports 1 crew was, they were promoting the fact that they're leaving Stillwater and they're heading to Norman for the game on Saturday. I mean, works out great for Fox.
Yeah.
In that case, just kind of motor down the road a few miles, do another game.
Hey, and I love it, too, especially in our job if we had Thursday night games, because then that opens up a weekend.
Absolutely.
So
I wish Arkansas played at least one Thursday night a year.
In fact, if they would have played last night against Eastern Illinois,
it's almost
I would have
like
been all
a,
for it.
It's like having a second bye weekend. It's awesome.
It's like getting a second Christmas. Being able to have a weekend open in football season.
Two birthdays
season.
In one
That's
year.
Right.
I mean, it's just
perfect.
Great.
That's the way you want it.
I loved it last year.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, not happening this year. Maybe again next year.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the phone lines. Former Arkansas Razorback Raymond House joins us on the show. Good morning, Raymond. We're a day away. How pumped are you for football season?
Very much so excited for football. Got a little bit of taste of it last night with some of the kickoff Thursday night games, but super excited about this coming Saturday where the bulk of the schedule starts to roll in.
You know, we got to look at the depth chart earlier this week when Chad Morris released the first two deep of the year. I know you've looked it over. No surprises on the front line with McTelvin again there, or at least not a surprise there. The linebackers probably with Scooter Harris kind of leading the way and Greenlaw as well. What was your thoughts as you looked over the two deep and the personnel Arkansas is going to put on the field tomorrow defensively?
So if you look at the entire depth chart kind of overall as a whole, you look at 9 sophomores and 4 freshmen, that means that more than half of your 2 deep will have 1 year left going into this game. So definitely looking at, that tenure and that experience. But it's one of those things that we all understand how the game of football goes. They're hoping that this team definitely grows up after the first 3 weeks and has some opportunities, hopefully under some perceived stellar competition to be able to kind of develop and get some reps under their belts to be ready once the SEC season starts. And I think you'll see a lot more than that too deep going into this game when you think about the new NCAA redshirt rule. I expect them, if this game gets to be under control, to put them to play a lot of different players. But as you said, no surprises. Good to see Ramsey with his hand back on the ground this year and not lost in coverage this year as a pass rusher. I think McTelvin again has the potential to be a run-stopping defensive end and a pass rushing 3 technique because you've got some stability with a senior Armand Watts also at that defensive tackle spot to get in there too. Watts and JT Smith kind of give you 2 big bodies to help hold up against the run once you get to those situations, especially with some of your more heavy power running teams. And, 2 all SEC caliber linebackers with Greenlaw and Harris, you already mentioned. And the secondary looks to be one that we can be as confident as about. With the return of Pulley and then having Callaway and Curl on the field at the same time, Santos Ramirez being there over the top, you got to be excited about what this defense can potentially do, at least from those starters' positions. I think still something to be determined about the next guys, those second and third guys.
Raymond, I've been big on this defense. I think they're going to make a huge jump and a huge move forward in improving from the last season, the last couple of seasons especially. But in a game like this, where it's the first game, obviously you're still figuring things out. I mean, how aggressive do you expect this defense to be? Do you think that they're going to send a bunch of different blitz packages, trying to continue to work on the stuff that they're going to have to get ready for in the SEC play? Or are they going to be a little more conservative and just hope that the talent enough and their base defenses will be enough to slow down Eastern Illinois?
Yeah, well, if this team comes out and gives the maximum effort that they know that they should, no matter who they're playing, and then focus on the details and making sure everyone's doing their job and not trying to get outside of themselves to make a play. They can and should be able to kind of dominate within their base defenses and not have to do a whole lot. With that being said, we know the parity of college football, and you know, there's no game is given to you. That's why they play them, you know, on Saturdays or Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays now. But that's why we play them on Saturdays. And so I think it comes to the point of they'll do what they need to do to win this game. And if that comes into reaching it a little bit further into the defensive play calling bag to do so, I think that's what I do. But I totally expect them to be close to being vanilla as far as defensive calls is concerned, with a little bit of exercising of their some of their blitz packages on third down, just to kind of get themselves acclimated to execute them in the game situation.
Former Razorback and defensive captain Raymond House with us here on the Morning Rush. You've taken a look a little bit at Eastern Illinois and their offense. What are some of the matchups that you think fans need to be looking closer at for tomorrow's game at 3:00?
Well, obviously, if you read anything on Eastern Illinois, you know they're expecting to play two quarterbacks consistently. You know, one in Woodbury that seems to be more of a passer coming out of the JUCO ranks, and then you look at Brantley, who's more of a prolific runner, somebody that can do some things out there. Obviously, quarterback versus linebacker matchup is the first one you probably look to when you have those the likes of Greenlaw and Harris kind of orchestrating that defense from the center and making sure that one's lined up correctly. And that's going to be the key thing, is to make sure everybody knows what they do and hold each person accountable for doing their job, especially when you could get some combination of speed, of run-pass options, some speed options, some spread-up tempo. I expect Eastern Illinois to throw all those things out. So that's the first matchup. And now obviously they've got some wide receivers that they're confident in. The wide receiver versus DB matchup, you know, once it gets to those passing situations, because I believe that they'll probably be predominantly pass and try to leave a lot out there. But all of that is negated if you have a front four that can dominate and impose their will. If you have that four, those defensive linemen in that front four that are consistently are disruptive, it makes everything behind them a lot easier. That's what I'm looking forward to see. Can this group going first game in, getting those jitters out, can you bring the maximum effort that you need, even though you're facing an FCS one game over 500 team from previous years? All those things need to go outside of your mind. You go out there and do your absolute best and be as disruptive as you possibly can in the front four, and that makes everything behind you a lot easier.
Now, Raymond, how much of a difference can somebody just like John Chavis and the staff come in and make as far as this team? Because I feel like that can be the leaps and bounds and the signal of most improvement. Because I think there's talent on this defense. It's just a matter of having the right staff and the right personnel to put them in position to be successful. How big of a jump and how big of a difference can it make if you just have a different defensive philosophy and a different culture in that defense to make all the difference in the world?
Oh, I mean, it means the absolute world, especially when you think about very impressionable 18, 19, 20-year-olds. We've got to remember that we're still talking about young kids that we're dealing with, and having that right type of leadership that builds that type of culture and gives them that attitude where, hey, it's very simple. Do your job, give your absolute best, and then we'll put you in a position to be successful. You see the team be a lot more relaxed, especially from a defensive perspective, not feeling like they're thinking a whole lot, not a whole lot of thought. And you can hear those type of comments come out of their players. There's a lot less thinking. It's more, here's my position, here's my job, I do it, I read and react, and I do it to the best of my ability. And then having that along with a coach that instills in them that they know and has the expectation that they can be successful, that's one of the biggest changes, because that this attitude of this team, right, not hanging their heads down when things get tough, and understanding they have a high expectation for themselves, that's going to change everything. And I definitely am looking forward to seeing that come into fruition this week.
What's best for this team that's in this transition we're talking about? A big blowout win, something similar to what A&M did last night, and that you can play a lot of players? Or is it best that the two deep gets tested a little bit and they have a tussle for a half? What kind of game would you prefer this team go through tomorrow in a victory? We all agree they got to get a victory, but how would you like to see it play out?
Well, in a situation like this, given you've got an FCS team, you would like to see them be in a position to come out with a comfortable win and be able to kind of give some opportunities for some of the guys that are maybe a little bit further down the depth chart to be able to get some experience and some reps and some real live action. With that being said, you said it best. The win, securing the win becomes first and foremost, and that becomes the top priority as far as this team is concerned. But you'd like to see them be in a comfortable position to get a big win this coming weekend and be able to kind of have this opportunity early in the season to kind of help give some guys the opportunity to develop.
Raymond, obviously you know what, have a little idea what's going to be going on tomorrow and at least what you're hoping that happens. Give us a little prediction. What do you think's going to happen? How do you think Arkansas comes out? What's your overall feel for the game?
Yeah, so I honestly think that this will be a team that will have some, you know, first rep jitters. You know, there's some things that they need to be able to get worked out. I expect this team to be able to, because of some of their athleticism on the outside in Eastern Illinois, be able to make a few plays. But I expect them once they can run about the second quarter and they get their legs up under them, I expect them to kind of separate themselves. And I believe this will be a game that they'll win by at least 3 touchdowns.
Well, there you have it. Former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House. Always appreciate you joining us, Raymond. It's going to be fun catching up with you every week to be able to preview the upcoming games, and it's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Arkansas Game Day.
All right, guys. Looking forward to it.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
This is your hour. If you like to, let's just say, make the games interesting. Maybe put a little something on. This is your half hour. So without any further ado, it is our Fence Man Friday football pick.
Fence Man Friday football picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, well, let's get into it. Yep. We got 3 games going on. And this is great because there's a lot of great college football games. It's hard to pick just 3 even.
And we got the Fence Man here. He's going to pick some games with us each week. Jeremy's here. He is the Fence Man. Good morning, and thanks for being a part of it this year. Hang on. Let me do my part and turn your mic on.
Yeah.
Good morning, guys. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. How excited are you about just the fact that college football is back?
Man, I've been waiting for it since baseball season.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Razorback fans, we had a little bit shorter wait in the summer because we had so much baseball to pay attention to. Peter Burns kind of talked about that last hour. But, yeah, I mean, now it's here. We're on the doorstep. We're one day away.
It's still too long. It's still too long of a wait.
All right, that's so Ty Richardson's going to give us our games that we are selecting from this weekend.
All right, we'll officiate. So, Jeremy, I'll start with you. We got Auburn, Washington. Auburn's favored by 3 in this game. You got to think about it. Auburn has lost in Mercedes-Benz the last 2 times they played. Who you got in this first game?
Man, I got Washington. I think they're coming across the Mississippi River with something to prove.
Ooh, all right.
What's the spread on that one? 3?
It's 3. Okay. 3 favor of Auburn.
I think that long travel is something. I think, A, Auburn's got something to prove. And Stidham's the real deal. That travel, whew.
It's a long way.
Long way. I'm going to take Auburn and lay the points. I think Auburn wins this game.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Auburn, too. I tried to find ways that I could maybe convince myself that Washington's going to win it. But like you said, Tommy, the travel, I think, is a factor into it as well. Auburn now, though, it depends on the spread you're looking at. But it's moving towards Washington a little bit. But I still like Auburn in this game. And it's going to be a close one. Should be an entertaining game. But Malzahn gets game one win.
When we wrote these down a day or so ago, it's 3.5. Is it moved?
Now it's Auburn's favored by 2.
By 2.
So, yeah, moved a little
bit.
Got
that whole point.
We get that line, right?
Yeah. You're the guy here. Let's set the tell us.
I think we need to go with the current line.
The current line, okay.
So current line is 2. Do you want to
change it?
We probably should have looked this up.
No, I'm going to stay with Washington.
I'm going to take Auburn. I want the 2, though.
He's sticking with Chris Peterson, Jake Browning. Yeah. So
that's good. A lot of the national guys think that Washington could lose this game and still end up in the college football playoffs. I've seen a lot of conversation about this game and that particular point in particular. Be interesting to see.
But I like Chris Peterson as a coach, though, more than Malzahn. Yeah, I'll say that.
I just think Auburn at home is going – Auburn essentially at home. I know they're not in Auburn, but
– Atlanta ain't far.
This is a home game for Auburn. Yeah. I'll take Auburn.
Yeah. All right, next one, fellas. Louisville, Alabama. Juwan Pass starting his first game against the best defense in college football. 25.5 in favor of the Crimson Tide.
That's a lot of
points.
Who
you got, Jeremy?
That's a bunch of points there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Alabama covers, though.
Wow. So you got them in a blowout then, not even close.
In a blowout.
Okay. Yeah. I think Alabama wins this game straight up, but 25.5, that is a lot of points. I'm taking Alabama to win the game, but give me Louisville and the points for the win where
wow.
it counts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got there. Actually, it's moved again, too, just to buy points, 24.5. I don't think that'll make a difference, at least in my picks. But I got Louisville covering. I don't have them winning, but I have them covering. There's just something about this game that gives me a weird vibe. Now, the only thing that could really make me look like an idiot, which isn't very hard to do, is that Louisville players have been talking a lot of trash before this game.
Never spoiled.
And it's never really a good thing to talk trash about Nick Saban and his Alabama teams beforehand.
Well,
so.
And that's the thing. With Nick Saban, guys, when he's got like 3 months to get ready for you, we saw that screen grab when they were doing the shows that Bo was involved with, the rolling with the Alabama Crimson. That thick book. I mean, it looked like War and Peace back there. Arkansas 2011. Looked like three family Bibles stacked up that he was going back and, and studying Arkansas and Petrino in 2011. And, you know, there's just not going to be a detail that gets by Nick Saban.
Not at all.
As much trouble as they've got with receivers and defensive backs and some problems with Bama, I still don't see Nick Saban getting out-coached in any way, shape, or form with months to prepare.
But 24.5 points, man, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Bobby Petrino, he's not Saban, but he's like the next shelf, right? As far as football
next
coach,
year. Yeah.
He's got a lot of other issues that we know about. But as far as getting a football team ready for a game, and he's been talking boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly, that, hey, they expect to go win this game.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. No, I like the bold talk. It's just a matter of, is Alabama the team you want to do that against, though? That's going to be the key. And I just don't know if they're maybe biting off more than they can chew. So, but I still like Louisville to cover, though. I'm like them to cover.
I'm with you. What's our third game, Ty?
We got Miami and LSU, Ed Orgeron, Mark Richt. Miami, 3.5 in this game. It's going to be very interesting. Joe Burrow named the starting quarterback for LSU. Who do you like, Jeremy?
And LSU's had pretty good luck down there, but I think Miami takes this one, too.
Mm, yeah.
How much do you trust Orgeron?
None. I don't trust him at all.
Exactly.
I mean, Miami's favored by 3.5 points in this game. As of right now,
does the travel factor, Fitzman, does that set factor in at all? You like Miami quickly.
Yeah, this game's in Arlington.
Yeah. And they've got a travel. I mean, that's not like Washington coming all the way to Atlanta, but.
Well, I'm no expert, you know, on the whole fence spread. I'm the whole spread thing. I'm a fence guy.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with Miami.
All right, I'm with you. Yeah.
So you're going with Miami.
I'm
too?
Going with Miami as well.
Okay. So I was gonna try. I thought I was gonna be different by not going against going for the SEC team, but. I'm going with Miami, too. I don't trust Ed Orgeron. I think that their quarterback situation is going to end up being a disaster. I don't think they're going to be able to score points. And Mark Richt, he's not the greatest coach of all time, and you can see how well George is doing without him. But I do like him as being one of the top tier, that tier with Bobby Petrino type coaches. I like him at Miami.
As far as just coach, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he beats LSU. I think he beats him handedly here in Arlington.
All right, just for fun, this one doesn't count towards the record, but Arkansas, what is it? Still around 35 last I saw.
Yeah, 35 points was the last
35, and I don't even know if that's really an official line, because generally you can't get a betting line on an FCS opponent. But if you had, gun to head, had to bet this game, Fitzman, 35 points, which way would you go, Arkansas, Eastern Illinois? Could Arkansas win this game by 35?
Man, I'd love to see it.
We all love to see it.
I don't see it happening. Not 35.
So you'd take Eastern Illinois in the 35, the Panthers in the 35.
As much as I hate to say it.
I'm kind of with you.
How about
question is, can Arkansas score 35? Will Arkansas score 35 in the game?
Man, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about this game. That's the thing.
That's why this is.
I mean, you're just, you know, up there, you know, pissing in the wind pretty much. I'll do it just for the sake of variety. I will say that Arkansas does score more than 35 points. Mm-hmm. And I say they beat Eastern Illinois by more than 35.
Okay.
For the sake of variety. I think they're going to come out firing with a lot of energy. You're going to see some big-time playmakers from guys like TJ Hammonds, Chase Hayden in the running back position. I think they scored a lot.
How about we do this? We give a bonus point out to whoever guesses the score the closest.
All right.
So.
Okay.
So you can go over, you can go under, but it's just the closest to that score. So if you think
you're going to just give a score prediction, pretty much. Okay.
Need to remember. So
points spot. You don't have to say the score.
Ty's got a pen. He can write it down.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what I put in Hogs Illustrated. It's been a month since we turned those in, so I'm not way off of that. But
big time over here.
Say Arkansas wins by blank.
I just don't want to give something like worlds away from what's in print, you know. I think Arkansas. Do you want a score or do you want a differential?
Differential.
Differential.
Oh, Arkansas by 17.
Okay.
Arkansas 22.
offense. Vince got 22. John?
37.
Oh, wow. Going up
John's
top.
Going big.
Yeah. Right. I'm sticking with my guns.
All right.
Going to be consistent about it.
All right. Just to reiterate the picks, Vince Mann has Washington, Alabama, Miami. John, you got Auburn, Louisville, Miami. And Tommy, you got Auburn, Louisville, and Miami.
All right. So those are the picks. We'll do this every Friday. The Fitzman Friday football picks brought to you by the Fitzman. He's here today. You can call the Fitzman at 782-3936. You take care of customers in Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, up and down I-40, wherever they're at. You've done some work for me. I had some custom gates done. I'm telling you, the Fitzman can get the job done for you. Whether you need repair, you need a new fence, commercial, residential, custom ironwork. You guys do it all over at the Fence Man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. And we're just looking forward to anybody calling.
All right. So right now we got a special deal. Anyone that hears it on the Morning Rush and calls the Fence Man, it's 782-3936. Free wall gates.
Walk gates.
Walk gates.
Yes, sir.
I said, what the hell is a wall gate? I didn't know what that was. I wanted to ask you.
A
wall
gate.
So you got a free walk gate. So that's going to save you some money right there if you call right now. 782-3936, and if a recent storm's giving your fence some problems, the Fence Man can do the repairs for you as well. At 782-3936, the Fence Man, he ain't afraid of no work.
Thank you, Tommy.
You wouldn't fit in on this show. We're afraid of a lot of work around here.
Yeah. We're not a fan of it. We're not a fan.
We run from work. So the Fence Man will do the work.
Yeah.
782-3936 for the Fence Man.
That's right. And at some point in time, Ty, I don't know if we'll do it to everybody, but me and Tommy are going to have some type of bet, some type of thing at the end of the season.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. Because so far we're 1-for-1 on following through on our bets.
No.
So, beat you in the burger eating contest.
You did?
That's all that matters.
Don't have any
1-0, baby. Undefeated against Tommy Kraft.
Then go for it.
Tommy Kraft is 0-1. So that's all I care about.
You probably ought to quit right there.
Yeah. So go undefeated. Go out on top.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.